We'll start off with a song and then have a word of prayer. Then I'll have Brother Paul come up and
good morning. I hope everybody
say hello to everybody today. So as we start, let's start with the song, Praise Him, Praise Him. We'll do that together.
And
we'll begin.
We'll be blessed today with our service.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O worth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms, He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. You have a lot to praise Him for. Just talking to somebody earlier in our
Jesus
county, I think there's been no new cases of the coronavirus for about 5 days and no reported deaths in Harrison County, so praise the Lord for that. But at the same time, we know there have been a lot of loss of life around the country. So as we go to prayer this morning, we certainly want to be in prayer for our nation and just pray for the president, vice president, and all those who are aiding them and knowing exactly what to do. So we'll keep praying for them. Hopefully you're praying for those folks daily. Also, we want to be in prayer this morning for Wally Hunniford. He's been having some heart issues, so he's going to be having some test runs. We're going to be in prayer for Wally. And also for Wally and Vicky's son. He lost his wife, Deanna. And so, if you would, just be in prayer for
them. Hopefully, you're praying for those folks daily.
Their son during this time of the loss of his wife. Don Myers, I don't know if Don's here this morning, but he was feeling pretty well. I didn't get a chance to say hello to everybody, so maybe when we're done, I'll try to stand out there and just at least say hello to everybody when you leave. But Don has had some good reports the last few days. Seems to be feeling pretty well, as well as Mary Ann. Austin and Katie, I saw pulled in. So they're here. And I think they brought Naomi with them. I don't think they left her at home.
Don Myers.
Glad that they're able to be here for the service this morning. And I'm glad you're here. And trust that God's just continued to work in your life. Hopefully He's opened up doors of opportunity for you, even though we're secluded in homes.
Don,
you know, still opportunities that God gives us to witness to people, and you ought to do everything in your power to take advantage, to seek opportunities to tell others about Jesus Christ, because people are searching, people are looking, people are hurting, and have fear, and Jesus Christ has the answer to those things. So again, we'll continue in prayer for one another. I appreciate all the prayer for me. I can sense it. I appreciate you folks loving me and praying for me the way you do. So let's right now just pray together. Then I'll have Brother Paul come up and we'll go forward from there. Father, I thank you for being a very great, merciful, mighty, just, wonderful, loving, gracious God. I thank you that you care for us.
So again,
I thank you, Father, that
in prayer for one another.
What time you are afraid, we can trust in you.
Sense it,
and there is a lot of unknowns right now.
So let's right now just
we look to you, whether it's concerning the economy, whether it's concerning health.
Father, I thank you.
Father, you're the great physician. You tell us you own the cattle on a thousand hills. You tell us that you'll supply all of our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You tell us that you are the God that healeth us.
And
Lord,
Father,
though I may not know your perfect will for anyone's life, you know it, and you have a plan.
We look to you,
and we'd be foolish not to come to you and seek healing,
health,
and seek provision,
Father, you're the great physician,
and seek for you to do
you
wonderful
you
things. One thing I do ask is during this time, Father, not to just think that there's not a purpose in what our nation is going through, what the world is going through. I don't know, Father, if it's just a warning shot to us of things to come. I don't know if you're trying to wake us up, and I would imagine you are, to seek after you. But God, help us as children of you not to fail to recognize you in the midst of this.
Not to
do pray for Brother Wally today, and as he is tested concerning the issues he's been having, that you would bring healing to him. I pray, Lord, for the Hunterford son and the loss of his wife, Deanna, that you bring special comfort there.
I don't know if you're trying.
Lord, we just thank you for what you've been doing for Don Myers and for Mary Ann.
And
we ask you to continue to touch him, especially as he learns this week of the treatment that he'll be receiving for his cancer. And then, Father, I thank you that Austin and Katie are able to be here, and Naomi today. Just ask you to continue to watch over Katie and the healing that she needs. So, again, Father, we look forward to just having this little time together this morning. And again, thank you for your people here at Grace Baptist. Thank you for their willingness to come out and meet together, even under these strange circumstances. God will thank you for all that is done. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Paul is going to come on up.
You're able to be here, Naomi, today. Just ask you to continue to watch over Katie and the healing that she needs. So, again, Father,
good morning. We're going to go ahead and try this, even in our vehicles. If you're happy to be here, we're going to put one hand as high as you can get it inside your vehicle. Now, if you're happy the vehicle beside you, in front of you, or behind you is here, we're going to get the other hand up in the air. I can't do it since I'm holding a mic. And then while we have our hands in the air, all God's people said, praise the Lord. I saw some people use their sunroofs, so that's a good thing. Just a few quick announcements this morning. Then we have some rules that we have to go over. First of all, if you look in your bulletin, there is a little blurb there about tithes and offerings. And there's the mailing address for the church. So you could actually mail your tithes and offerings to the church. And if you guys are little tech wizards, then you can go on the link that's on the Facebook page under general information, and be able to follow that link. I'm not technologically advanced, so I don't know anything about that. But also, beginning today, this Sunday, and for future Sundays until this coronavirus social distancing is lifted, we're going to be gathering at the church at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings to worship and just be, you know, part of our church family, even though we're kind of sequestered a little bit. In saying that, there's kind of some rules that go along with a drive in church. So, and these are kind of suggestions that we're going to throw out there. You know, a quick beep of your horn once for an amen during pastor's sermon is permissible. However, if you lay on the horn during the announcements or when pastor's preaching hits a little too close to home, is not permitted. We also ask that everyone, you know, that you not arrive early for the sole reason to park in the back row. Because we know how Baptists are. They love that back row. Now, we also ask that you don't leave any personal property such as Bibles, coats, blankets, or shawls in the parking lot to reserve your space for the next time we meet. Okay, we ask that you don't put on sunglasses and recline your seat back during the sermon. We also ask that you don't rev your engine or start your engine and leave early before the invitation is given.
They love that back row.
And then the last thing, in Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. So we're doing that. However, we find out because we're all in separate vehicles, we cannot all be in one accord. Thank you very much. during the sermon. We also ask that you don't rev your engine or start your engine and leave early before the invitation is given.
I want to thank Carol McRae for building this.
In Hebrews,
of course, you were here last week. I think Vicki Hunterford said that was the best service I've ever been to, watching that tent come down over the pastor's head.
So
it was kind of comical. Now, if this comes down on my head, then I'll be in trouble. But no, in seriousness, I really appreciate Harold building this, just protection from the wind. And, you know, right now we're not having any rain, but this is really nice. Someone said it looks a little bit like a manger, so maybe we'll just keep it around and have multi-purposes for it. So that'd be great.
Watching that tent come down over the pastor's head.
Enoch is going to come with the offering basket pole thing.
Then I'll be in trouble.
And he's just going to go to car to car. If you have an offering, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. But he'll just start at one end and make his way around while we sing, and then even as we begin the message, if you have something to give, that's fine. If not, you know, that's fine too. But almost looks like a butterfly net is what it looks like, doesn't it?
That'd be great.
All right, let's go ahead and we'll sing one more song before we get in the message this morning. And we'll sing I Want to Be Like Jesus.
Basket pole thing. And
I Want to Be Like Jesus. All right, here we go.
An offering, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine.
I have one deep supreme desire that I may be like Jesus. To this I fervently aspire. That I may be like Jesus. I want my heart his throne to be, so that a watching world may see his likeness shining forth in me. I want to be like Jesus. O perfect life of Christ, my Lord, I want to be like Jesus. My recompense and my reward, that I may be like Jesus. His Spirit fill my hungering soul, his power all my life controls. My deepest prayer, my highest goal, that I may be like Jesus.
That I may be.
That's a beautiful song. That really lends itself to the series that we're going through out of the book of Matthew. And we're going back there this morning to Matthew chapter 5. And our theme for this year is Matthew 16:24, that we are to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. We saw in chapter 4, where as Jesus began his public ministry, he met Andrew and Simon, his brother, and said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men."
And we're going back there.
Later he met the sons of Zebedee, James and John.
And our theme,
and he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men."
We are to deny ourselves.
One of the great themes in Jesus' ministry
and follow him
was obviously challenging people not just to get saved, but to follow him and be his disciples, to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him.
And I will make you fishers of men.
And I trust as we go through this,
later
in these coming months, that it'll be a help to you, a blessing to you. And we're going to be going back again to chapter 5. And we're going to read, since we were not in Matthew 5 last week, we'll read the first 12 verses once again. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they
that mourn,
which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. As we've seen, as we've gone through this,
that
these are known as the Beatitudes, the blessings, as Jesus taught the disciples. And again, a reminder that a large multitude of people, and it's referenced there in chapter 4, had followed Jesus. A lot of healing is going on. A lot of deliverance is going on. Eventually, Jesus makes his way to this mountainside. And there, the disciples come to him. No doubt the multitude followed him, but his words, the message, the preaching, the greatest of all messages of all time, was to those disciples. He's speaking to his believers. He's speaking to his children. And since you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this message is for you. This message that Jesus preached is for me. And we need to listen carefully. The greatest of all messages, we need to pay attention to what he says.
No doubt the multitude followed.
If you want to know, listen, if you want to know true happiness, you're going to find it in Jesus alone.
He's speaking to his believers. He's speaking to his children.
You can get a momentary glee by purchasing something new and shiny. Listen, some of you may have purchased an automobile or a pickup here in recent months or maybe the last year or so. And there's something really exciting when you go to that dealership, and maybe it's a brand new vehicle. No one's ever used it before. It has that new car smell. Listen, you know, most don't buy brand new automobiles, but when you get something, even if it's at a used dealer, you know, they've detailed the car and they've cleaned it out well, and you know, you say, my car has 200,000 miles on it, and this one only has 35,000. It's a new car to me, and you get all excited. You get kind of get gleeful over that. A momentary thrill.
When you go to that dealership,
you can feel that thrill when you get that unexpected raise.
New car smell.
Of course, right now, with people being laid off of work or losing jobs, you know, just to be able to maintain your income is what's most important right now.
But
maybe you've experienced that. You go into work, you work hard, you work a 10 or 12 hour shift, and you give all that you can because you know that Jesus taught if a man will not work, neither should he eat. We know we're taught to give honor even to a froward boss. We're to show respect and we're to show an attitude of hard work. And so you go into that company and you give your best. And you're expecting that normal yearly salary increase or that wage increase, maybe a 25 or 50 cent raise. But when you open that envelope, the boss walks in and says, hey, you've done such a good job for this company. You have gone above and beyond,
even to a froward boss,
and we're giving you this, and you look, and you can't believe it, man, it just kind of takes your breath away, and it's that thrill of the thrill of getting that huge raise. That's nice. It's nice when those things happen. You can experience a time of excitement when you get to go on that long-awaited vacation. Now, I think this. I think everybody here, when this is done, you are so put out with having to be inside that house, being away from your friends and family members. I think when this is all done, everybody is going to want to go on a vacation. So you know what? If that happens, you know, since we've kind of had to close shop for a little bit, if everybody went on a vacation for a week or two, hey, I wouldn't blame anybody. You know, it's nice, and I've advocated this in years I've been here. You know, we get to this time of year where we come near the end of the school year. We're venturing towards summer. And you've heard me say on a number of occasions, you know, even Jesus said, come ye apart and rest a while. And I think it's good when you get away, whether it's a week or 2 weeks. You get away from your regular routine. You get away from the workplace. And you get along with your family and just rest. I think that's good. And there's something nice,
you know, it's nice
about that excitement of going on vacation. I've always enjoyed it. I'm sure most people do.
The end of the school year,
but the reality is this.
Towards summer, And you've heard me
it's
say
not the momentary glee of purchasing said, a new vehicle because, quite frankly, that new vehicle in a year's time is going to have a dent in the door. That new vehicle is going to have the wrappers on the floorboard. It's not going to be new anymore, and that thrill is going to wear off.
About that,
that thrill of getting that raise, as wonderful as it is,
I'm sure most people do.
Because of inflation, because of adding to your family, whatever it may be, there's going to come a point where that is not sufficient. That thrill is going to wear off. That excitement about the vacation is wonderful.
In a year's time, it's going to have a
but vacations don't last forever.
That new
I did hear yesterday, I read an article about a world cruise.
It's not going to be
a cruise, a company out of Italy. And these folks have been at sea for 15 weeks. Thankfully for that particular cruise ship, they had no cases of coronavirus on it. But boy, what a different world those Italian people and those Spanish people who make up the majority of those passengers, what a different world they're coming back to. Listen, even that doesn't last forever.
Vacations don't last forever.
Happiness.
I did hear.
When we talked about happiness, again, it's not momentary glee or the fill of the thrill or an experience, a little short time of excitement. It is contentment and joy. That's the happiness that the Lord Jesus talks about here. That contentment, that joy comes only through Jesus Christ. It doesn't come in a thing. It doesn't come in an event. It comes in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Now notice in this chapter what Jesus said. He said, you will be happy. And that's what the word blessed means. He said, you'll be happy, verse 3, when you're poor in spirit. When you, as a disciple, as a believer, not an unbeliever, we're not talking about the lost. He said, when you, as my child, come to the point where you recognize you are spiritually bankrupt, spiritually destitute, and you live your life that way, he said, then you'll be blessed. Then you'll find
chapter,
happiness.
What Jesus said.
Verse
he
4.
Said, you will be happy.
He said, you'll be happy
that's what the word
when you mourn.
Means. He said, you'll be
in
happy.
Other words, you're spiritually bankrupt because you realize that even though you're saved,
spirit.
You still have this flesh.
You,
as Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am.
Not an unbeliever. We're
who shall deliver me from this body of
said,
flesh, this body
my
of sin.
Child, come to the point
and you realize that because of that, for the rest of your days, until we get the glorified body, until we're in his presence, we will be in a battle. Listen to me.
Verse 4.
He said, you'll be blessed when you learn to mourn over that sin.
In other words, you're spiritually
you're at that point of spiritual bankruptcy. God,
you still have this
I need you
said, oh, wretched man
because of my sinful ways. God, I need you because I'm prone to sin. God, I need you.
And
you become broken.
Of that,
you mourn, broken over sin in your life. He said, you'll be happy,
until we're in his presence.
Verse 5,
we will be
when
in
you're
a
meek.
Battle. Listen to me.
Meek is
said,
strength under control. Now, here's a problem that I've had.
Sin.
Here's a problem I know other believers have had.
Bankruptcy. God,
the problem is this.
I need you.
I can handle this.
Because of my
I can conquer that habit.
Ways. God,
I can overcome that temptation. I can do this.
I.
Anyone who lets I get in the way never gets victory.
Your life.
He said you need to come that spiritual bankruptcy, being poor in spirit, broken over sin, mourning over it.
Meek.
And being meek. In other words, though you may think in yourself you have the strength to overcome these issues that sometimes plague your life. You say, God,
I can conquer
although
that
I think
habit.
I can handle it,
I can overcome that.
I choose
I can do this.
To be compliant to your solution, God. Now, how does that solution come? Sometimes it comes through your pastor.
He said, you need
as
to
I stand and preach God's word, sometimes God will use me through the preaching of his word to help you.
And being
sometimes
weak,
as you sit
words,
in that Pilgrim's Progress class or
the
Cornerstone class or the New Beginnings class or whatever it may be that God uses. Brother Grant or Brother Jeff or whoever it may be as they teach and preach God's word
to, compliant to, your solution,
to help
God.
You realize,
now, how does that
hey, this is the way
come?
I can get victory
sometimes
in my life.
Your pastor.
God will use those
I
things.
And preach God's word. Sometimes,
sometimes
God will use me through the preaching of
that
his
help
word
may come from somebody
you.
That you never expected
sometimes
to be able to
you
help you.
In
fact,
Pilgrim's
let's be honest, there are times where we may think ourselves because we've been saved
class,
a lot longer,
be,
because
God
we've been more involved in church or ministry
Grant,
that
Jeff,
you know we're the spiritually mature
be,
and then God takes someone that hasn't been saved
realize,
all that long someone that
hey,
doesn't serve as much as you might serve in the church and God will use that person to humble you and to point something out.
From somebody that you never expected.
And God says, I just want you to be meek.
In fact, let's be honest. There are
I just want you to be meek.
We may think ourselves.
And I want you to be willing to accept my counsel.
Because we've been
even if it comes from another brother or sister in Christ, whether it comes through the pastor or a teacher.
Mature,
and folks, every day you pick up this book and you read it.
Hasn't been saved all that long.
It ought to be with the attitude, God,
as much as you might serve in the church.
Whatever
God,
you show me.
That person,
God, I'm willing for you to change my life. God, whatever you show me, I'm willing to rid myself of things that you show me ought not to be in my life. God, I'm willing to be obedient to you.
You to be me.
And then notice verse 6. Jesus said, you will be happy when you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that Jesus Christ is righteousness. In fact, he is called by the Apostle Peter, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
God, I'm willing for you to change my life. God, whatever
you said,
you show me,
you'll be blessed when you hunger and thirst after righteousness.
You
hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ. And
you.
He, the righteous one, can make you right. We're to live lives that are right, that are just in the eyes of others. The Bible says that about Joseph, that he was a just man. Others, Simeon and others, just before God.
Hunger and thirst after
we're to live and do what is right. How does that happen?
And he, the righteous
by realizing you
can
cannot do
any
of yourself.
Right.
You need the one who is
we're
right.
To live lives
His name
that
is
are
Jesus
right.
Christ.
That are just
and that brings us
the eyes of others.
To where we're at this morning,
that
and that's
Joseph,
verse 7.
That he was a just man.
Jesus' words in verse 7.
Others,
look at that verse together.
Simeon and others, just
blessed are the merciful,
God,
for they shall obtain mercy.
What is right.
Blessed are the merciful,
by realizing
for they shall obtain mercy.
You need the one who is right.
Now I'm going to say something profound.
His name is Jesus Christ.
You that don't get to verse 7
where we're at
until you go through verses
7.
3 through 6.
Jesus' words
you
in
say,
verse
duh,
7.
Duh, I know that, Pastor. I mean, you got to read verses
blessed
3 through 6
merciful,
to get to verse 7. That's not exactly what I mean.
Mercy.
Listen,
blessed
no one merciful, will ever be merciful until he or she experiences
now, I'm going to say
the realities of being spiritually needy in their life.
You don't get to verse 7 until you go
say it again.
Through verses 3 through 6.
No one will ever be merciful as God has designed for you to be merciful until you experience
that's not exactly what I mean.
Being spiritually needy as Jesus taught in those previous four verses.
Until he or she
you'll never be merciful like you ought to be to others.
Realities
and as Jesus Christ is to you and me, until we come to that spiritual bankruptcy, being poor in spirit, until we mourn over sin, get broken over our sin, until we meekly comply to what God is trying to teach us, to get us to be more like Jesus Christ, and to hunger and thirst, crave after righteousness, crave after Him.
You know,
I want to be more like who?
And as Jesus Christ is to you and me.
Jesus.
Until we come to that spiritual bankruptcy, being born.
He said, I want
until
you
we mourn
to be merciful.
Sin,
and if you want to be happy,
sin,
he said in verse 7,
comply to what
you'll be
God
happy
to
when you're merciful.
To
but you will
like
never be merciful like you ought to be until verses 3 through 6 are true in your
him.
Life.
You know, I want to
now,
be
remember
more
this.
Like who?
Jesus is teaching his disciples.
Jesus.
He's not teaching the lost.
He said, I
but I would imagine as the multitudes were behind those disciples, there were some, as they heard these words, that were being convicted. I would imagine there on this day of the great Sermon on the Mount, there were some who realized, that's not the way I am.
Now, remember this.
I'm not spiritually destitute. I'm not mourning over my sin. I'm not coming meekly to God. But all of a sudden, God's Holy Spirit began to work in them, and they came to spiritual brokenness. They came to mourn over their sin. They came with an attitude of meekness before God, and they looked to Jesus Christ the righteous. And as they heard Him preach, their life was changed, and maybe some were saved that day.
But all of a sudden,
I was saved 43 and a half years ago on a Sunday morning.
They came to spiritual brokenness.
43 and a half years ago in a little classroom off the main auditorium of the church I attended, I knelt on my knees and cried out to Jesus Christ to forgive my sin. It only happened when I became spiritually bankrupt.
Life was changed.
I realized
maybe some were saved
that I was poor in spirit.
I was
when I realized and began to mourn over that sin. Listen, there is no salvation without repentance.
43 and a half years ago,
there is no salvation without repentance.
Was the church I attended.
Jesus taught it. John taught it. The apostles taught it when the New Testament church started. There has to be a repentance, a turning from sin. I'm not talking about you turning over a new leaf or getting a new lease on life and, you know, purposely trying to overcome in your flesh. But I'm saying you come to God and say, God, this is what I am, and I need you to change me. I need you to forgive me. I need you to save me. You come broken in spirit. You come mourning over sin. You come with the attitude of meekly receiving God's way of salvation. What way is that? By faith. By faith.
You know, purposely
that's the only way a person is saved.
Overcoming your flesh.
By faith.
But I'm saying you come to God and say, God,
and allowing Jesus Christ the righteous to change your life.
I need you to forgive me.
And when this is true, you know what happens to you?
You come broken in spirit.
You have just experienced
mercy. You come
mercy.
With the attitude of meekly receiving.
The day you got saved, the day I got saved there in Canton, Ohio,
faith.
I experienced God's mercy.
That's the only way a person is saved.
Did I deserve it?
By faith.
Absolutely not.
And allowing Jesus Christ,
I think most of us could look and say, you know, to be honest, I realize now I didn't deserve being saved, but he saved us anyway. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we've experienced God's mercy? Those of us who are saved,
I've
come to understand Titus 3, 5, and 6. Just take your Bible and turn back to Titus chapter 3.
Absolutely not.
These are great, great
I think
verses.
Most of us could look
Titus
say,
chapter 3,
honest,
and notice verses 5 and 6.
I didn't deserve
not by works saved, of righteousness which we have done,
anyway.
But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now listen to verse 6. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what happened the day you got saved? You realize you couldn't save yourself.
Notice verses 5 and 6.
You couldn't save yourself.
Not by works
and
of righteousness
you
which we have
knew
done.
You had to throw yourself on God's mercy. And brother, listen,
mercy, he saved
it was
us.
Abundant.
By the washing of
you experienced God's abundant mercy on the day of your salvation. What about Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5? You're welcome to turn there if you'd like. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says this.
You realize you couldn't save
but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace
you
are saved.
God's abundant mercy on the day of your salvation.
His mercy is an abundant mercy. His mercy is from his riches. And I like what James 5:11 says. And I'll just quote you part of the verse. It says this, the Lord is very pitiful,
even when we were dead in sin,
and of tender
quickened
mercy,
us together with Christ.
We sing the song
by grace you are saved.
At Calvary.
Listen,
years I spent in vanity
his
and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified,
his
knowing not it was for me he died
his riches
on Calvary.
Like
now listen to the chorus.
5:11 says,
mercy there was great,
the verse, it says this,
and grace
the Lord
was free.
Is very
pardon
pitiful.
There was multiplied to me, there my burdened soul
mercy.
Found liberty. At Calvary.
Sing the song.
You hear those words of the chorus?
At Calvary,
mercy there was
vanity,
great.
Pride, carry not
listen,
my Lord,
the day I got saved, I experienced God's abundant
me,
mercy.
He died on Calvary.
He was rich in mercy.
The chorus.
He was
mercy
tender in mercy toward
great.
Me. And he was to you too the day
pardon,
that you were saved.
Me, there my
I've experienced
soul
it.
Found liberty.
And I think, I remember... Some of you remember, not most of you, but some of you remember Nancy Bach.
Was great.
And whenever she would testify,
listen,
she would
I
always
saved,
quote Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23.
Right?
At least it seemed that way. Nancy's been gone for a number of years now.
And
but I remember these being her favorite verses.
That you were saved.
And I think they're a favorite verse to a
I've
lot of folks.
It.
It says this, it is of the Lord's
mercies
that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
And
you notice the word mercy is in the plural form. His mercies are abundant.
But I remember these being her favorite
he's rich in mercy.
And I think there are
he's
favorite
tender
verses
in mercy. And because of that,
of
we experience his compassion.
that we are
and
not
those things, listen, they're God's new every morning. Now, he says to you and me, I want
they
you to be merciful.
Every
how often?
Great is thy faithfulness.
Every morning.
And you notice
how much mercy
is in the plural.
Abundant mercy.
His mercy.
He wants you and me to be rich in mercy. He wants us to be tender
in mercy.
You know, sometimes in the past, my idea of mercy was this tyrannical king sitting on a throne and somebody comes crawling to him. And you know, he's
merciful. How often?
He happened to cross the bridge when he wasn't supposed to cross it. And you know, sentence of death for doing something so vile as crossing a bridge. And this peasant comes crawling to this tyrannical king, and the king says, I'll let you live. I'll let you have 20 years in prison, but I won't take your life. And that is supposed to be mercy. No, listen, that's not mercy.
Somebody comes crawling to him.
And sometimes that's the way I operate with people. Well, you deserve a lot worse, so I'm going
to
give you a little bit of my anger kind
of
attitude. That's not mercy.
And this
God wants us to be abundant in mercy, rich in mercy, tender in mercy toward others.
Now,
I could give you the classical definitions of
mercy
as you might find them, but I'm going to let the Bible give you the definitions of mercy here this morning. We've already read those words. The definition of mercy is found in James 5:11. He said it's
to be
pitiful,
mercy,
to take pity on people.
Tender in mercy.
If you take pity on people,
I could give
well, they should just grow up. Well, they should just act right. You know, they should understand how fortunate they are. Listen, do we take pity on people? Lamentations 3:22. We saw that word, compassions.
The definition of mercy is
compassions. Again, multiple form, plural form. God says, I want you to show compassion to people. Whether you think they deserve compassion or not.
Well, they should just grow up.
Now, take your Bible, go to the Old Testament, to the book of Micah. Go to the book of Micah, chapter 7, verses 18. Micah chapter 7, verse 18.
Compassions.
Jonah, Obadiah, Micah, toward the end of the Old Testament.
God says, I want
in Micah chapter 7, verse 18,
whether you think they deserve compassion or not.
Now, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth
iniquity
and passeth by the transgression
of
the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because, and listen to this, because he delighteth in mercy. Did you hear that definition there this morning in the book of Micah?
Only listen to these words.
God says, you will be
who is
happy.
A God like unto thee?
You will be blessed when you're merciful to other people.
By
when you're pitiful toward
the
them,
of his heritage,
showing pity.
He retaineth
when you're compassionate toward
forever,
people.
Because
when you are willing to pass by the transgression. Listen.
In mercy.
Let me
did
sit
you
here
hear
for
that
a minute.
Definition there this morning?
Passing by
God,
somebody's transgression. I'm not talking
God
about
says,
someone coming
you
to you and humbling themselves and saying, I know I was wrong.
When you're merciful
and I want you to forgive me. No, we're not talking about
when
that yet.
Pitiful toward them.
It's passing by the
pity.
Transgression of someone that you know has wronged you,
when you are willing
or maybe not be living like they ought,
the
and you listen. Still pass by the transgression. Not
passing by somebody's transgression. I'm not talking
you know,
about someone
coddling them in their sin, but
say,
just
I know I was
being
wrong,
what
I want you to forgive
Jesus
now,
was
about that yet.
As he was to that
it's
woman who was taken
by the
in
transgression
adultery.
Of someone that you know
neither do I condemn
has wronged you, or maybe not be
neither
living
do
like
I condemn
they ought. And you still
do we pass by the transgressions of others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not retaining anger.
Sin.
Remember, Paul said, be angry and sin
what?
Not. Listen,
Jesus
how easy it is, even between us at times,
to
grow angry with each other.
Adultery.
You know, we're all different. We have different philosophies.
Neither
we look at the life differently. We look at the Word of God
neither
sometimes in different means.
Do
and
we pass
and
by
sometimes we can anger each other.
Especially
listen,
our brothers and sisters in Christ.
It's not that we don't get angry.
It's not
it says in Micah
7:18
that God
said,
did not retain
anger. Be angry
anger.
And sin not. Listen,
we're to be angry and sin not.
Even between us at times.
That's an attitude of mercy.
You know, we're all
the last thing we saw in Micah chapter 7 verse 18. Pardoning
God
others.
In different
because
means.
There are times where people know they've wronged
you. Anger each other.
And
listen,
they come.
It's
and
not
say,
that
we
don't get angry.
What a privilege it is. And it is an attitude of mercy to say these great words. I
we're to be angry and sin not.
Brother,
that's an attitude of
what
mercy.
Would have happened had you
the
come to Jesus
saw, Micah,
and said,
7, verse
18, will you forgive me? And if he had said,
others.
No.
Because there are times where people know
I've heard Christians
and they come
with my own ears
and they say, will you forgive
say,
me?
I
what a privilege it is,
will
and
never
it is an attitude of mercy to say
forgive.
These great words.
I
forgive you.
Will never forgive.
Brother, what would have happened had you come to Jesus?
May that not be true of me. May that not be true of you. But we would do exactly what Jesus Christ taught us to do.
With my own ears.
To be merciful.
Say, I.
Blessed are the merciful.
Forgive.
For they shall obtain mercy. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Vaughn. I've already obtained mercy when I was saved. Yes, you did. But you need mercy for today.
May that not be true.
And you're going to need mercy for tomorrow. And you're
going to
need mercy for the next day. And there's just a plain statement. In fact, you read the book of James, I think it's chapter 5, where he says those who don't show mercy, you know, they're going to get judgment instead. Listen.
For they shall obtain mercy.
I don't need any more correction from the Lord than necessary. I know he loves me. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. But wouldn't it be just better just to do what he tells us to do, be merciful to people, so we wouldn't have to be judged for those kind of things?
The book of James, I think it's chapter
Bible is filled with examples
where he says,
of people
who
are merciful.
Those who don't show mercy, you know, they're going to get judged.
Here's Moses.
Listen,
remember, we read a few weeks ago in the book of Numbers, it says that Moses was very meek,
whom the Lord loveth,
the meekest man on the earth.
But wouldn't it be just better?
Well, he was a merciful man also.
Merciful to people. So we wouldn't have
his sister Miriam and his brother Aaron rose up against him.
The Bible
took umbrage at a decision that he had made and began to criticize him and blast him and assassinate his character.
In the book of Numbers, it says that Moses,
you know, it's amazing.
Meek,
Moses remained meek toward them during that time. In fact, we don't hear of Moses defending himself at all. But someone else took offense. It was God. And God struck Moses' own sister Miriam with leprosy.
And began to criticize him and blast him.
And you hear these words from Moses to someone who deserved God's judgment for what she had done.
Meek toward them during that.
This is his words to God.
We don't hear of Moses defending
himself. Heal her now, I beseech
thee.
God, please heal my sister. God, don't let her have this leprosy. God healed
Moses' own sister Miriam.
He was merciful. How about Joseph?
You hear these words from
you remember
Moses
what his brothers did to him?
To
their plot was first to murder him.
God's judgment.
If it were not for Reuben, he would have died.
This is his words to God.
As a result, he was sold into slavery, and for 13 years, his life was slavery and prison.
God, don't let her have this leprosy. God, heal her.
13 years.
He was merciful.
13 years.
How about?
And after he was sold, about 30 years later, he meets up with his brothers.
Their plot was first
and when he would have had every right to even the score
Reuben,
and be judgmental against
died.
Them, what did he do?
As a result,
he blessed
he sold
them
into slavery
and he showered
and
them with mercy
years,
day after day after
his
day.
Life was slavery and
he made this statement to them.
13 years.
He said, concerning the thing they had done to
and
him, he said,
he
you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Later,
listen, God's in the middle of this. I didn't understand it at first, but now I see it. God was in the middle of this, and I just want you to know I'm gonna take care of you. I'm gonna take care of your families. I'm gonna bless you as long as I live. And that's exactly what Joseph did. Joseph was merciful.
And he made this.
How about David? David was merciful
concerning
with his own father-in-law.
He said, "You meant it for evil."
Now you know when you get married, you hope. You just hope. You get good in-laws.
I didn't understand it at first, but now I see.
And I've been blessed. I have great in-laws.
I just want you to know I'm going to.
And I hope most of you do too. But David did not have a good father-in-law. David's own father-in-law tried to kill him several times. In fact, hunted him down for a number of years.
How about David?
And David on two occasions had opportunity to end that trial.
Now, you know, when you get
and he had men whispering in his ears, you'd be just in this. He has sought your life, and you'd be just to take his life. And now God's given the opportunity
in
your hand.
David did not have a good father-in-law.
Maybe it was a test
from God. David's old father-in-law tried to kill him several times.
What did David do?
In fact, hunted him down.
He was merciful to his father-in-law. He was merciful to Saul.
And David, on two occasions,
and he said to those men,
he
said, "I'm not to touch the Lord's anointed.
He
may be a wicked man. He may be making all the wrong decisions, but he's still God's anointed, and I'm not touching him."
You'd be just to take his life. Now
he was
God's
merciful.
Given the opportunity in your hand.
You remember Stephen in the New Testament?
Maybe it was a test from God.
He was one of the original deacons.
What did David do?
He became quite a preacher.
He was merciful.
And after he had preached
father-in-law.
A tremendous message, the council of Jewish leaders grew angry with him.
He said, "I'm not to touch the Lord's anointed."
And they decided to stone him to death.
But he's still God's anointed.
And as he's taking his last breaths on this earth, he made this statement.
In the New Testament,
he looked up to heaven. He said, "I see
deacons,
the Son of God standing at the right hand." Now that's interesting because the Bible tells us that when Jesus went to heaven, he sat at the right hand of the Father. His work was done. But when he saw his servant Stephen being abused, he stood up. He stood up.
And as he's taking his last breaths,
and Stephen was allowed by God to see him. And he said to the Lord, he said, "Lay not this sin to their charge." Stephen was merciful.
That's interesting.
And of course,
the
Lord Jesus,
that when Jesus,
there on Calvary,
he sat at the right
people spitting on him,
his work was done.
People mocking him,
saw his servant,
people abusing him,
being abused,
and as he is literally dying, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Was allowed by God to
folks,
see him. And he
you'll
said
never be happy
Lord,
if you're not merciful
said,
to others.
Not this sin to their charge.
You'll be miserable.
Stephen was merciful.
But you won't be happy.
Of course, the Lord Jesus.
You'll be confused.
There on Calvary.
You'll be unstable. But you'll never be happy.
People mocking
you might seek a momentary thrill of evening the score with somebody. But you'll never know
said,
contentment
Father,
and true happiness until you learn to be merciful.
Folks,
and God says, when you are merciful,
you'll
experience continually my abundant mercy in your life. He said, but if you're not,
well, you won't be happy.
He said, I'm going to pull back on that mercy. Oh, it's not going to endanger your salvation,
but
you're
going to
be miserable. You're going to be miserable.
Seek a momentary thrill of evil.
Can I ask you this morning, are you compassionate toward people or uncompassionate?
True happiness.
Are you
until
vindictive with people?
And God says, when you are merciful,
or are you willing to pass over their transgressions?
My abundant mercy in your life.
You
say,
are you
not
pitiful toward people? Or are you unsympathetic to the things that go through?
Your salvation, but you're going to be,
I'm going to close with this last verse. It's not in the book of Matthew. It's found in the book of Proverbs. This is interesting. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31, the Bible says this.
Are you
he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth
or are you
his
willing
maker,
to pass over their transgressions?
But he that honoreth him hath mercy
pitiful
on the poor. Now, listen to those words carefully again.
He
that oppresseth the poor reproacheth
Matthew,
his maker.
Proverbs.
Well, we know
this
who our maker is. That's
Proverbs
Almighty God.
14, verse 31, the Bible says this.
But he that,
honoreth
him,
poor,
our maker, Almighty God,
maker,
hath mercy on the poor.
He that honoreth him hath mercy on the
you
poor.
Understand now, that proverb says,
again.
When I choose not to show mercy, whether it's the poor or anybody else,
his maker.
Well, I'm not reproaching that person that I refuse to show mercy toward. God says this.
But he that
I'm reproaching him.
Our maker.
There's not a person here in this parking lot. There's not a person listening to this morning that would say, "Oh, Pastor, I would never try to reproach God." Every time you fail to show mercy to a brother or sister in Christ, every time I fail to show mercy to a lost man, listen, I reproach Almighty God. I don't want to be guilty of that.
There's not a person here in this parking lot.
You want to know happiness.
There's not a person listening to
true joy and contentment in your life.
Oh,
you're not
going to
get it.
I would never try to reproach God.
Through the temporary thrills of life.
Oh,
it's nice to get the new car. It's nice to go on vacation. Those things are fine.
To a brother or sister in Christ, every
but
time
if you want
I fail to show mercy to a lost
man, listen,
I reproach
he said, you'll be blessed.
Almighty God.
You'll be happy.
I don't want to be guilty of that.
When you learn to be merciful.
Listen.
Everyone here that knows Jesus Christ
true joy
is a product
your life.
You're of not great mercy.
Get it through the temporary
because of God's
of life.
Richness in mercy,
oh, it's
His
nice
tenderness
cars, nice
in
vacation.
Mercy, His abundance in mercy. And God says, "Now I want you to be the same
way
with
want
others.
To last.
Just as I was with you, I want you to do the
he
same
said,
to
blessed.
Others.
you'll be
Can
happy.
I ask you this morning, is that
you
true
are
of you?
Merciful.
Are you merciful?
Everyone here that knows Jesus
is
Christ
there someone at work?
Is a product
you may not be seeing them right now,
great mercy.
But when you get back, maybe there's some change that needs to be made. Maybe you need to begin to show mercy. Maybe there's a brother or sister in Christ that you've struggled with. And listen, you have reasons for feeling the way you do. But God says, I still want you to be merciful to them. I don't know what it is for your life. I know there was some conviction for me this week.
You may not be seeing them right now.
God dealt with me about
maybe there's some change that needs to be made. Maybe you need to begin to
show I need mercy. To be merciful to
maybe
those
there's
people.
A brother or sister in Christ that you
maybe this
with.
Morning he is dealing
Listen,
with you. Maybe he'll deal with you this week as you consider what has been preached from God's word
but
this
God
morning.
Says,
and if
I
he does, listen, be obedient to him. If you need to get right with somebody, get right with
life. I know there was some conviction for me this week.
Mercy. Be merciful. Be rich in mercy. Abundant in mercy. Tender in mercy toward others.
I need to be merciful
to
this week.
There may be someone right here in this
Maybe
parking lot.
This morning he is dealing
there may be somebody listening
this week as you consider what has been
that has never experienced
and if he does,
the mercy
listen,
of God's salvation. He wants to save you.
You
he wants
right
to forgive
you
your sin.
Right
listen, he'll not say no to you.
Practice mercy.
He'll forgive.
Be rich
he'll
mercy,
save you.
In mercy.
And all you have to do is ask.
Toward others.
If you just ask, now, whosoever shall call upon the name
right
of the Lord shall be saved.
Lot.
If you'll bring your sin to him and ask him to save you, he'll do it. Whether you're sitting in an automobile or sitting in your living room, he'll do that for you. Would you do that right now?
He wants to save you.
Let's bow our heads together
to
and we'll pray.
Your sin. Listen,
Father,
not say no to you.
It's been a privilege to
he'll
preach
forgive.
Your word this morning.
He'll save you.
Even in this unusual circumstance, standing outside, it's been a privilege and a blessing for me to be able to preach your holy word.
If you'll bring your sin to him and ask him,
what a greater privilege it would be to know
that
my sins have been forgiven.
Would you do that right now?
God has saved me. So right now, if there's someone who has never put their trust in you as their Savior, that right now, wherever they're at, they would simply obey your word, believe you, and by faith receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Give their sin to you so that your blood can cleanse them and be saved.
What a greater privilege it would be.
Father, for every believer here,
my sins have been forgiven.
I ask that you would help us
right now, if there's someone
to walk in mercy toward others, to be abundant
in
mercy, to be tender in mercy toward other people, to show passion and compassion. Pass by transgressions and be a blessing to other people.
So that your blood can cleanse them.
Lord, we'll thank you for what you'll do in our lives.
Father, for every
we pray these things now in Jesus' name. And just ask, Lord, for everyone as they travel home now,
to walk
that as you have been merciful to us, even concerning this pandemic, that you would continue, Lord,
to be tender,
to show mercy to us.
To show God, passion and compassion,
as we wait,
pass by transgressions and be a blessing.
Lord, to come back together. You know, where we can stand, you know, and shake hands and just love each other up close and personal. I just ask, Lord, you'd help us to be about your business and honoring you.
That as you have been merciful,
Lord, we pray you work through Grace Baptist Church to be a lighthouse to others, even during these days. Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to make my way over there in case I didn't get to say hello to you. And Lord bless you and give you a great day. And of course, we'll have the service tonight at 6 on the live stream. And if you don't get live stream, I know some of you don't, you can always go to the website. And we're being pretty consistent right now of getting those messages on. So you can listen to it at any time that you're able to. So Lord bless you. Thanks for coming out today.
Well, I'm going to make my way over there.